Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. I'm very excited about this program. It's amazing.
It's a fantastic story. I've been very excited about this segment for some time, and we're finally here. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Atlanta director with Rick Case Automotive Group, Mr. Kevin Kolb. How are you, man?
I'm fantastic. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Sure. Before we get into the program, we're here to talk about the Rick Case Bikes for Kids program, but can you share a little bit about Rick Case? What's your day-to-day business like?
Selling cars. Servicing cars. Yeah, we've been here in Atlanta since 1986. We got 18 stores nationally and started here in Atlanta with a Hyundai store and then have expanded out to five brands here in the market.
Now, is Rick Case, so they're based, where are they based?
Our corporate office is in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale.
And then, so you have locations down there, you have it here, anywhere else?
In Ohio. Rick actually started originally, you know, as a teenage kid selling cars out of his front yard.
And, oh, really?
Really, and then expanded from there and then moved from there to Atlanta and then down to Fort Lauderdale. So we've got, you know, roots and base in all three of the markets.
Mm-hmm. So what's your backstory? Have you always been in this industry?
Pretty much. My father actually was a car dealer in Miami and didn't know Rick Case at the time. And and so I spent some years with him. And then over the, you know, him and I, as a young and up-and-coming kid, I thought I knew everything. And so I actually quit working for my dad and went to work for his competitor.
You showed him.
There were some years there. It was a lot of tension, but certainly worked out the best for both of us.
So you grew up in Miami?
I did.
Yep, so did I. That was... So we have that bond. So I can see where you would have that kind of feistiness about you. So how'd you get to Atlanta?
Well, I went to college in Orlando and ultimately ended up trying to decide where I was going to move after school. And I was Atlanta and Colorado and then either or back to Miami. And so my sister actually had moved to Atlanta and was working for a company here locally. And she said, "You got to come up here and see Atlanta." And I came up here, fell in love with it and stayed ever since.
Now, when Rick Case comes into a market like he is here, is it typical to kind of immerse himself in the community like this to work in this kind of a program like this?
Oh, absolutely. We feel that it's part, you know, we have to be part of the community in which we do business in. And so we reach out and our main focus is the Boys and Girls Clubs. And we spend a lot of time. We're involved in some other charities, but far and away, the Boys and Girls Clubs is our big focus.
And then so in all the market you serve, you are involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs in some manner?
So what drew you to the Boys and Girls Club specifically? Anything in particular?
Rick Case, you know, he started it before I, you know, came to work with the company, which I came to work for the company in 1988. And he was involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs for many years prior to me joining the organization. I knew a little bit about him, but hadn't spent a lot of time around the club. But once I started spending time around him beside it, you know, it becomes something you fall in love with. When you see the benefits and what the clubs do for the community, it's fantastic.
Now, this program is called the Rick Case Bikes for Kids program, and you're trying to provide actual bicycles for some of these children.
Yes. Yeah, the whole focus, we've over the years have actually raised over 100,000 bikes and given back, mostly through the Boys and Girls Clubs, but certainly through some other charities and some churches and other organizations. And our goal this year, it's our 35th anniversary, and we're looking to do to get 5,000 bikes.
Here in Atlanta or across all of the markets?
Here in Atlanta. Wow. And we're doing it in all the markets.
5,000?
Yes. We'll have our ceremonial presentation at the dealership on the 12th, in December the 12th. But then we'll take them out, the balance of the bikes out to the clubs right after that. We want to make sure that they're in homes prior to the holidays.
So now, is this something where Rick Case funds all these bikes, or is it where the community gets involved and they drop bikes off at Rick Case?
Both.
It's both?
Both, yeah. We reach out, obviously, and try to get the word out, and we've had some phenomenal partnerships with the city of Duluth and Lawrenceville and Norcross and even the city of Atlanta. You know, getting the word out to the community because it's not just new bikes, obviously, you know, the kids love to have a new bike, but we want bikes in any condition.
Any condition.
And we welcome, you know, anyone to bring them in, drop it off of any of our five stores here. We take them, obviously the best ones get cleaned up and then we give them out to the kids this year. The ones that need repair, we actually have a partnership with the Lawrenceville Club and they have some both adults and students on site that will work on the bikes during the year, and mm-hmm. then we will give those bikes out. So we'll take a wheel off of one and a pedal off of another.
So you're slowly refurbishing whatever comes in.
Yeah, so it's, you know, any condition. I mean, so many people, myself included, over the years.
Right, have a bike that's like, that was a good idea a few years ago. Yeah, I never got around to it.
Got all excited, right. And I'm going to get into fitness, and then, you know, then it's parked in your garage. So, so many of the used bikes are in great condition, and we really appreciate it. But again, it doesn't have to be in a great condition.
So here's what I'm envisioning. Pulling into the dealer, right, for service, get the oil changed or whatever, and they say, hey, be right with you, Mr. Payton, but I got to knock out this 10-speed first. But you don't really do it at the dealership. You got to.
No, we the dealer. Actually, we have some of our technicians do get involved over the years, but not at the dealership.
Right. No, but that's great. So if a business like Business Radio X or individual like me or Lee, and we want to participate in this, is there some indication of, like, do you tell us, hey, we're running really low on girls' bikes, you know, so can you go get a girl's bike? Or is there any kind of direction like that? Or we just
or
show up with
bikes,
a bike?
Any size, any gender?
Yeah, I mean, the clubs provide us with some of that idea, like sizes and boys, girls. But quite honestly, there's so many, you know, we've been so fortunate that so many people have participated. So ultimately, the local clubs, which is the first thing that we provide, we have a plenty traditionally have a good balance, a back and forth. And then it becomes the other ones where it really becomes important, all the other charities and churches and other organizations that we try to work with. But like I said, the main focus is we try to first supply the Boys and Girls Clubs, first in our local community where our dealerships are, and then expanding into Metro Atlanta.
Now, would you rather actually, though, us swing by with a bike or two, or would you rather have a check and go get what you need, or do you care?
Well, and I'll give a little shout out to Walmart. We have a partnership with them for many years, and they give us a really good discount, and they actually, if we give them enough notice, they put them all together for us free of charge. So I got to thank Walmart for everything they do. But either way, I mean, quite honestly, either way, a lot of companies and a lot of folks are making the donation of money, and then 100%, I just want to make sure everybody's clear, 100% of that money buys bicycles. Nothing, doesn't pay labor, doesn't pay anybody, there's no marketing, that's all funded by us. But 100% of the money goes, buys new bikes, and then give them back to the kids.
And then do you know about what a donation equals a bike, like how much money equals a bike from Walmart?
The cheapest bike is somewhere $18 to $20, and then we have bikes up to about $75.
So if somebody donated $50 or $100, that's going to
that's meaningful. $50 or $100 bikes. That's meaningful, right?
Absolutely.
So now, can we talk a little bit about Rick Case? What are some of the cars that you sell? What types of vehicles?
We have two Hyundai stores locally here. We have a Mazda store and an Audi store. So, and Kia. So we have the five stores here in the market. We have other brands in the other markets, but here in Atlanta is the four brands, five stores.
Ryan wants a Maserati. So, but you can
have
a
Maserati. We actually,
that sounds like a South Florida dealership.
For sure. We just opened it in Weston about, I think it was about 6-8 months ago.
Now, where are you located? In North Fulton or downtown? Where's your stores?
We have four stores in Gwinnett County, all in and around the Duluth area in the Gwinnett Mall, and then a store in Roswell on Alfred Highway.
Mm-hmm. And then, so when the bikes come in and you have the bikes, do you have your people actually go out to the Boys and Girls Club to give it out to them?
Oh, yeah. We have, and again, over the years, what's happened is more and more, we have about 350 employees in the company. And as they've gotten involved and they've seen the kids, they get it. They want this. It's like we have to go out and deliver them. So we set up times and then we'll go out. We have a big box truck and we go out and deliver the bikes. And we're only
50 or 100 bikes at a time.
You know, I think it was like 150 to 170 the truck last year per truckload.
And so it must be amazing when you show up at one of these locations with all those bikes and you start pulling them out of there.
Oh yeah, The directors of the clubs get all the kids that come out, so it's easy unloading.
Right, because they help, right?
The loading's a challenge. So, yeah, the kids come out, they unload all the bikes, and we bring them in traditionally to, like, one of the gymnasiums where it's a big area, and then they've already because we've already let them know how many they predetermine, and then most of these clubs serve as 250 kids a day.
Man.
So it's amazing, and it's, you know, it's basically little kids all the way through high school, and so they have these kids and they come out, and you know, then they'll, a lot of kids will be there that'll get the bikes right then and there, and then they'll take and give, you know, get the other kids the bikes.
And sometimes this is the the kid's first bike ever, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll share that story. But, you know, we every year we try to get the local cities to give us a ceremonial Bikes for Kids Day just to draw attention to the program to support the kids. So back when Mayor Campbell was in office, he had us downtown into the city hall, and he was doing, and again, I can't remember if it was a monthly address to the media of what was happening in the city, but so he invited us down for part of that and have a ceremonial moment to give the bikes to the youth of the year. So
and this is like a press thing, yeah. Right? There's the big, all the press there.
Yeah, big press and the rotunda round marble deal down there. And so we had the local club directors. They brought the youth of the year, which is a big accomplishment for these kids to be youth of the year. So they have the kids there. And so we have all the bikes lined up and the mayor speaking. And all of a sudden, one of the little guys, he like breaks rank and he runs over and he jumps on this little like motocross bike and he takes off. And all the big, you know, muscled security guys with the microphone things in their ear, they start to run after. So all the cameras are focused on the mayor. They turn to this little guy and he's taking off the bikes. And the mayor's like, no, let him go. I mean, again, it wasn't like he could really go anywhere. And he's flying around the rotunda and all of a sudden, and he comes back up, he slides, he like gives a little slide sideways right up to the podium where the mayor is. And the mayor like picks him up and brings him up onto the microphone. And the kids just breaks out crying, and he tells a story that basically, obviously, he knows how to ride a bike, but he's never owned a bike in his life. And the little guy was, I can't remember, I think he was about 10 years old, and he is bawling. Next thing you know, the press is crying. We're all up there tearing up. The mayor's tearing up. But to see the emotion and the excitement of this young guy to get his first bicycle, it's a great feeling to be part of that whole deal. And I mean, you see that in the clubs, but seeing it in that you know, whole situation was really special.
Right. And then you mentioned that as a car person that you are, you know, you had that feeling when you had your first car. And then for these kids, this is their first kind of taste of freedom and the ability to go places, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was fortunate as a kid. I had a bicycle and wasn't quite the bike I wanted. And it was funny. I was watching an American Pickers show the other night, and they had this one guy was collecting all these old 70s banana seat right. bikes, and you know, that's the bike I wanted.
Right.
And I had a bike, but it wasn't quite that cool of a bike. But anyway, I was fortunate I had a bicycle, and I remember certainly when I worked and got my first car, it was just, you know, it was a moment with life changing, quite honestly. And then to these kids, a lot of that, it is a life changing moment. They now have wheels, not quite a car yet, but we'll take care of that right. when they get a little older. But as a kid, you know, they got their first set of wheels and are able to get out and go around, and it's a lot easier to visit, you know, their friends and get out of the house a little bit. So it's, and they earn it. I mean, just, you know, just because they're at the Boys and Girls Clubs doesn't mean they get a bicycle.
So how does that work?
Each club does it a little differently, and sure. we leave that certainly up to the director for the director to decide. But each kid has, you know, they'll put up requirements for them. And to stay in the club, they have to have a certain GPA at school. They have to have a certain attendance record. And these kids, if they don't do that, they have to
That's
get out
what's
of the club.
Special about the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, I'm not sure how much people know about the clubs, but it's a lot of foster kids, a lot of single family homes. And so what, and so much of the funding comes from either federal, local grants or local businesses like ourselves that are donating things, whether it's money or in our case, the bicycle piece. But their biggest challenge is obviously getting funding for the teachers. So they always need volunteers. So anybody right. out there that wants to volunteer, that, I mean, it's a great place to volunteer. But they, like I said, they service about 250 kids a day. They interview the parent or parents to determine what they can afford. And more than half of these kids go there for free. They don't pay a penny. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, that's the economics, you know, reality of it. And so these kids would have no other place to be. They'd be out getting in trouble. And, you know, I can only imagine myself as a young dude.
Right.
If I didn't have any, I know I would have gotten in trouble. And so it keeps these kids. And so when we first started the program, we spent a lot of time with the kids trying to get the graduation rate up in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to say that that's no longer the focus, because the graduation rate is now above the average graduation rate of people that aren't in the clubs.
Wow.
And now our focus is to get them to go on to college. And so there's a big push to get these kids on into college. And there's so many of them, so many, you know, celebrities in Hollywood, and, you know, they've gotten involved. And last year when we had our ceremonial deal, we were fortunate. We had Danny Glover come to the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
He happened to be shooting a movie here in town, and we found out he was in town. We called, we knew he'd come up and spent time in a club. And he says, I'm going to come up there on one condition. I'm like, okay, what's the one condition? I'm waiting for his, you know, $5,000, right. whatever the thing is. He's like, I want somebody to come pick me up. I'm down here in Buckhead shooting, take me to the dealership. And only thing I would want of you guys is a case of water. I'm like, done. I'm like, what else? That's it. He came to the store, spent time with the kids, shot a little video thanking everybody, but it's because not had nothing to do really with Rick Case, but his passion for the clubs and realizing where he is today wouldn't be where he is without the clubs. So these clubs.
So he participated as a child in the
clubs? Yes, in the clubs.
Wow.
And there's so many other celebrities that have been through, and we had involvement with the general manager of the Anaheim Angels that had come through one of the clubs. And so there's a lot of them really going on to be successful, you know, out. Whether it's sports, whether it's, you know, business or just community leaders. So it's, you know, and these kids, they excel, and they excel because of the clubs.
Now, you mentioned your goal is 5,000 bikes this year. In total, about how many bikes have you guys given away through this program?
Over 100,000. Now, that's not just the Atlanta stores.
But all
stores. We're, you know, we're over 100,000 bikes at this point.
Imagine 100,000 kids are riding bikes because of this program.
I think it's fantastic. And now I feel even more grateful than I already am. I've led a pretty charmed and blessed life. I had the banana seat Schwinn when I was a kid.
I'm jealous.
Now you're throwing that in his face.
Just like, right. But no, I mean, you feel very grateful when you recognize that, you know, a lot of folks didn't have those kinds of opportunities. I'm interested to learn a little bit more about Boys and Girls Club. What happens there? There must be some structured activities on a day-to-day basis. What kind of things happen at a Boys and Girls Club, you know, Monday through Friday or whatever?
Well, each club is a little different, but in general, you know, obviously there's a director of the club, and that director sets the activities for that particular club.
And it's an after-school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after-school program. So I'll give you a couple examples. Like up here, at the Norcross has a full live recording studio. So these kids will do anything
to get time
in there. They have a computer lab that's all flat screen. When I first went there, it was the green screen, big giant deals. But they all have, you know, flat screen computers. So they earn through activities. They earn time in the computer room, which, as you can imagine, is closely monitored and making sure that, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. There's quiet rooms where there's no talking.
Where they can study and do their
homework. Absolutely. There's a art room. There's a lot of local artists that come in and instruct free. They give of their time, and they come there, and some of them they do annually. They have an auction of the kids' art to raise money back for the clubs. And I've seen some of the art. I participate. It's incredible. I mean, and I'm not a big artist dude, but I can tell you the art is amazing. So they have the art piece of that, and then they have the sports. Some of the clubs have baseball fields. The Norcross has a 50-yard AstroTurf or whatever, you know, artificial turf field, but it's only a 50-yard field, so it's kind of unusual when you first look at it. But it really, I mean, a great field for the kids, and so they have organized sporting events. The Lawrenceville one has a giant gymnasium. You know, again, they have a lot of basketball, kickball,
and it's all funded through the community and through like government programs, as well as businesses stepping up and individuals donating their time and their money.
Yeah, absolutely. As being a Mazda dealer, one of the things that every December we have a program. This is a national Mazda program called Drive for Good. So Mazda has four national charities, the ones you could imagine, you know, the Red Cross and all those, the big national ones. And so they let each market in the United States decide who's their local charity. And so through a little persuasion on my part, you know, but certainly, but all the dealers, I mean, all the Mazda dealers in Metro Atlanta deserve the credit for this. So every car that's sold in December in Mazda, $100, gets donated to the charity of the choice, and their options is the four national charities and the Boys and Girls Clubs. Of course, we certainly encourage them to go, you know.
Oh, so like one of them is always a local.
Yes.
Right.
And so in Atlanta, it's the Boys and Girls Clubs. Again, also happens to be the national, you know, Atlanta is the national office for the Boys and Girls Clubs. So they're able to take that money, but the cool piece is that money stays in the community. Even though their national office is here for the Boys and Girls Clubs, that money that for any of the Mazdas that are sold, all that money stays back here and given to the local Atlanta clubs to help fund all their programs that they do.
How many Boys and Girls Clubs are there in Atlanta?
That's a great question. I would be guessing because we're only involved in probably five or six of the clubs. I know there's more than that. We actually, our company, Rick Case, we actually built the Boys and Girls Clubs in Davie, which you're familiar with, in Davie, Florida. So it's Rick and Rita Case, Boys and Girls Clubs down there. I'm working on Rick to get one built here, but we haven't been able to get that done yet.
So now that when you guys do something like that, is that you're buying the land and you're building the building, or you're taking over an existing facility?
It could be
any combination.
Yeah, any combination. A lot of times the land would be donated in a lot of markets. The local municipalities donate the land, mm-hmm. and it's historically and not the most valued land.
Right.
And so the land needs to be,
kind of fixed up.
Absolutely. They got to get excavated and leveled out and a lot of stuff. But donating land nonetheless is a big deal.
Sure.
And then they look for, and all these clubs aren't, even our own clubs aren't 100% funded. We were the majority funder of the one in South Florida, but there's a lot of the local businesses.
Right.
Deserve
but you might
the
be
credit.
The catalyst and then you.
And a great model. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's again, just. And right now there is a waiting list, and the clubs that we're involved with, every one of those clubs have a waiting list of kids. There's not enough clubs.
Wow.
So we need more clubs, and the clubs need more capacity, and then it's back to a lot to do also with the teacher student ratio that they're really
right. And you need the volunteers to be in the clubs to help the kids that are waiting to get in the clubs.
Yeah, and I obviously don't want to speak for the Boys and Girls mm-hmm. clubs, but spending a lot of time around them, money's always, everybody
absolutely
loves money.
Sure. Right.
But the harder, I would say, thing for them is to raise the volunteers, to get the volunteers to come in. And as something that we, as Rick Hayes, we're working with our employees. We have a lot of employees that are volunteer their time. And we have a gal that works with us now that is going to go in and she's going to be teaching Spanish and then English to some of the Spanish speakers. And so, those are the things that is hard for them to find, those specialty type deals. So anybody, from sports, and I know there's a lot of Atlanta Falcons that have been involved, the Boys and Girls Cubs, and they give back of their time. And so all that is so important because that's what they really need.
So for me, this whole conversation really speaks to the culture and the value system at Rick Case. It must be a very rewarding place to work at. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about just the working environment, the culture, whatever the right word is, just the climate at Rick Case, because I get a sense that it may be a little different there than it is in some places.
Well, of course, we think it is, but it's really part of that whole, what I think we talked about earlier. We want to be part of the community. We feel it's not just a good idea. It's an obligation on our mm-hmm. part. We have to be involved in our communities in which we do business in. It's you have to have a win on all sides. This is not just selling a product or servicing a product, but it's being part of the fabric of the community. And so, obviously, we do a lot of stuff with our local cities, Roswell and Duluth, and even the Metro Atlanta stuff. The more of that we can do, we carve out time to do that. It's not like, oh, something pops up. Oh, what do you think should we do? We carve out. We already have a calendar into next year of the events and the things that we're going to be involved in, so we can plan forward and give people time off that want to donate their time to this kind of, obviously Boys and Girls that we're talking about here, but we do other, there are other things that we're involved in, but that's the big piece. But it's a belief in that being part of this community, and it's the only way. And we've been here, we're celebrating, I can't even remember, I think it's 54 years in business. Now, again, Atlanta, we started here in 86, but the company in total has been privately owned. And we're over 50 years in business, and it's been, it was Rick started with that whole deal, and I should say it's Rick and Rita. They're both of Rick's names on everything, but Rita, they're 50-50 business partners, and they're equally involved in the business. Rick's got his name on everything, but so they deserve it because they're the ones that had the vision. I've been able to carry it forward. I've been with the company 20 plus years, and it just. Once you get in and around that, it has to get into the way you think.
Right, it's part of the DNA.
Yeah, and it's now we talk about the Boys and Girls Clubs all year long and what things, and we were fortunate. And I want to mention Prime America. These guys are business right up the street from us in Duluth, and they have once a year, they get volunteers to go out, and they choose one charity every year to go and do basically a whole day of charity work for that group. And so, because we have a business relationship with them, we might have influenced them a little bit to focus on the Boys and Girls Club. So just like 3 weeks ago, they had 75 volunteers from their company went out to the Lawrenceville Club. Because Lawrenceville Clubs, and I don't want to, it needed some...
TLC.
Some sprucing up. Yeah, right. So they went out there. They partnered with a local landscape company. I don't know. There was like a tractor trail load of plants they brought in. They redid all the plants in the place. They painted everything. They cleaned up. There was an area in the gymnasium that was just full of stuff. I don't even know, you know, it's just most of it, they got a dumpster, threw a lot of that stuff out, repainted benches, set up the garden for the kids so the kids could have a little area that was officially, you know, a garden that they could actually plant and grow and learn how to do that and grow some of their own food. So they did that. And anyway, they're just fantastic. So that's what we, our business partners, we also put a little pressure on them, but, you know, it's them. They stepped up and they helped get involved in us too. And now, I mean, the night and day differences of the Lawrenceville Club. And they,
right. The impact is dramatic. And that'll be something that day is going to last, you know, months, if not years, of kind of value to that club.
Well, and the kid, the cool piece is they went in real early in the morning because before the kids got there, they wanted to have it almost done.
Right.
So they all showed up, you know, before the sun came up, working. The kids got there, I think it was like 3 or 3:30, and almost all of the kids were just freaking out. I mean, they were so excited to see the freshness, the new paint, the organized, the plants, and everything that they were able to do for them. And it just, you know, when you see these kids light up like that, it's just, you know, it feels great.
Now, this program, the Bikes for Kids program, is there a deadline for collecting the bikes?
Well, the 21st is our, you know, there's no deadline because we'll roll them into next year. But whatever's delivered to us that's in a condition that we would give to them this year, the 21st is our official deadline to be able to process the bikes and then get them out to the clubs. Because also, again, we want to get them to the kids before the holidays.
Right.
And they're not in the clubs. And I think the 22nd, I'd have to go look at the calendar. Most of the clubs, I think that's it.
That's it.
The kids aren't back in the clubs until after the holidays. Yeah.
Now, so you're looking for either money donations for the bikes or actual bikes. And they just drop them off at one of the Rick
Case. Yes. Any of our five stores, any of the Rick Case stores here in Atlanta. And then I mentioned Audi Gwinnett because the Rick Case name isn't on our Audi store. It's a requirement of Audi. You don't have your name on the stores anymore. They have it, you know, whatever your community you're in. So it's Audi Gwinnett. So that's, you know, in Duluth is our Rick Case store. So any of our five stores.
What an encouraging and inspiring conversation. Keep up the good work, man. This is fantastic.
Guys, again, can't thank you guys enough. You know, certainly, you know, these kids are the ones that benefit from this whole deal. So thank you so much for having me here. And we look forward to hitting our goal this year.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, our guest today, Kevin Cole with Rick Case Automotive and the Boys and Girls Club. We'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.